This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Return of Tyr here on RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Hope everyone out there is having a great night or evening or day or morning, depending on where you are on the planet here, the plane. Today's date is March the 2nd, 2016. And I have an excellent show lined up for everyone here tonight. Going to talk about a number of different topics. I've got some notes that I made last night. I wanted to do a little bit more digging and write some notes down today, but I got off a little late. A little late today for my job. For those of you who don't know, you know, I work a lot of hours. My work has been a little bit busier lately due to the current situation. Essentially, what I do all day is I create Trump hat avatars. I Photoshop Trump hats about 6 hours a day onto random photos that I find around the internet, and particularly funny memes and frogs, you know, little frog Pepe frog memes. And, you know, I help create these Twitter armies, these great Twitter armies that that change the world. They change the world. Due to my work and the great work of many others, we have single-handedly have elected Donald Trump, our Lord and Savior. He's going to build a wall. He's going to build a wall. And that's, you know, the fact that he says he's going to build a wall is all you really need to know. I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, seriously. Epic KWJ asked in the chat, who pays for that? The Mexicans are going to pay for it, of course. It's a plan that can't fail. It's a good plan. Donald Trump's going to use good people that he knows, people that he's known for a long time, good friends of his, great people, excellent people, smart people. And they're going to get the job done because he's a man of action and he's never not done something that he said he was going to do. Beaner wall. Yes, it's the Beaner, great Beaner wall. The Great Wall of America, they'll call it. And, you know, they'll have Trump statues everywhere all over America, similar to that of, communist China with Mao. His face will be plastered everywhere. Oh, who pays for me to create my Twitter army? Richard Spencer doesn't have enough money in the world. Richard Spencer doesn't generate money. He just takes money. I don't think he gives a whole lot of it out, to be honest. I just don't think he's that big of a fish in this great pond of American, you know, American nationalism, American, you know, it used to be the paleo conservative movement back in the old days, William F. Buckley, and, you know, he connected in through the IHR, and you got people like Mark Weber that seem to be you know, perfectly fine and acceptable for many other outlets out there. He's been on this network a number of times. Dana had him on a few times, but he was thoroughly criticized and questioned whenever he did come on. I think Mark Weber is a joke. I think he's somewhat of a plant, either that or he's just absolutely lazy or just paid to kind of put out a certain, you know, a certain line about the Holocaust and, you know, Holocaust revisionism. Don't particularly care for him or his opinion. Last week I talked a little bit about the American Freedom Party, also known formerly as American, American Third Position, which I liked that, I liked that title a little bit better. A3P back in the old days. American Freedom Party, though, is talking about Bill Johnson being a lawyer that helps Chinese and Japanese business people come into this country. Find it kind of hard, you know, for him to, you know, he might really not like multiculturalism. I mean, and as far as bringing any type of group into the country, I would say probably Chinese and Japanese are, I mean, second to whites in many ways as far as that whole thing goes. I mean, demographic statistically, they really don't seem to be a major problem when it comes to crime. I mean, compare that to the hordes of Mexicans and South Americans coming over the border into California and Arizona and Texas and whatnot. I can definitely see why Japanese and Chinese people would seem like a better minority to have in your country. But I found it kind of odd. I went through the leadership of the American Freedom Party about a week or two ago. I didn't realize how much it had changed. I can't remember who all was up here before. I think they maybe added a position or two. But here's the people behind the American Freedom Party, just so people know. I mean, considering how much they have been doing here with the Trump election, they're running, you know, Bob Whitaker for president with Tom Bowie running as his VP, which Tom Bowie, frequent caller into Renegade, was a frequent caller into my shows about a year or so ago. I like him. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a decent guy. Don't have any problems with Mr. Bowie. But you have here is the leadership. William D. Johnson is the chairman. Bob Whitaker is a director. And Bob Whitaker runs Bob's Underground Seminar. He wrote the mantra, the famous mantra. Big proponent of the white genocide meme. I like him for that. I don't like his political posturing when it comes to, you know, Jews and Nazism, quote unquote Nazism and things like that. I can kind of see some merit in what he has to say, but ultimately, there's a lot of factors kind of against him. He is getting up there in age, and it does seem like that is kind of a problem that he does struggle with. Don't want to completely denounce the guy. I think he has done a lot of good things, and you know, I kind of do think at heart he really is honest about what he's doing and has the right intentions. Another director is Laura Fitzgerald. She's born and raised in Australia. She's a dual citizen of Australia. In 2012, she decided to move to America to work with Bob Whitaker on fighting white genocide. Lots of stories about Miss Laura. She was supposed to meet up with us at the last White Man March and didn't show, wouldn't answer her phone. Very odd behavior. I've talked to other people that have networked with her in the past, and it appears that her husband is Jewish and possibly isn't even an American citizen. A lot of interesting stories from multiple people on her and her husband doing a little snooping around somebody that decided to, you know, take him in for, I guess, a few days or a weekend or something while they were in town. I don't trust her whatsoever. And not to mention, this is supposed to be the American Freedom Party. I guess she is a dual citizen. I guess that's fine because she's an Australian dual citizen, but when Israelis are dual citizens, that's totally unacceptable. On to the next one. Paul Fromm is an advisor. He lives in Canada. Another person that's not an American, at least not a, you know, United States of America American. I guess he's a North American. Paul Fromm. Don't really know a great deal about him. Don't really care. All I have to say is two pictures that I will post in the chat for everyone to see and kind of just kind of think, you know, is this guy really, you know, somebody that I want representing me? Is this really a good guy, or is he a fucking degenerate weirdo? Let me see here if I can pull it up. I'm on my Twitter. I know I tweeted it out a while back. And be prepared, trigger warning. Definitely a trigger warning on this one. Oh, shoot. What's going on here? Let me see if I can pull it up. Jesus. It's always something, isn't it? It's not letting me... I don't know if it's because I'm in Windows today or what, but I'll post the Twitter link to... Jesus, this is so stupid. Okay, here we go. I'll post the Twitter links, and that way you guys aren't triggered by the thumbnail that's going to show up in the chat room. So this is Paul Fromm and some degenerate French artist, French-Canadian artist. That is not his wife, by the way. He is married, as far as I've read on the internet. He's still married. So, just give those a little look there. What a freaking joke. Oh, boy. Basically, for those of you that aren't in the chat, you know, aren't listening live, this is a picture of Paul Fromm and this woman. Both of them are overweight, out of shape. I think this is, like, it's so absurdly weird. Paul is wearing nothing but some kind of zippered Speedo, and his quote unquote mistress is wearing about the most disgusting looking bikini thing in the world. Just disgusting degeneracy. Somebody said, "Oh my God, I need eye bleach." So that's your American Freedom Party there. Kevin McDonald is the director of the American Freedom Party. I can't say really anything in particular bad about Kevin McDonald. I don't really like his pathological altruism kind of hypothesis thing. I don't think it's necessarily completely right, but I think it is right to some extent. It's just not... I don't know. Maybe I need to read more into it. I guess I can't really say anything at this point. Tom Sunick is a director. I've interviewed Tom Sunick. I like Tom. Never had a problem with him. He's pretty much willing to talk to anybody. You know, I mean, he talked to me. He'll talk to anybody else that really wants to, you know, network with him or interview him. Seems to be pretty knowledgeable. Has quite a history. Has definitely achieved a great deal in his life. Alexander Carmichael, don't know the guy, some kind of attorney, according to the website. James Kelso was originally supposed to be the presidential candidate for the party when they first announced the running. He's also a director. I'm not really sure why he stepped down, but he does a radio show. And then James Edwards is a director as well, host of the Political Cesspool radio program. Never been a big fan of his. Found some of the stuff he's done interesting. You know, I don't really have much bad to say about him, but quite an eclectic group, to say the least. I figured I'd put that out there for those that weren't aware. Okay. Paul Fromm is a gentleman, a very intelligent one, too. You're way off base, spreading slanderous lies. I think it's Hanshan. Hanshan, please click both of the links above in the chat. I will post one of them again. Paul Fromm can fuck off, honestly. Well, I mean, I say that. I mean, he could do whatever he wants, essentially. I don't care. If people want to interview him, that's fine. But it seems like he's got a problem to me. I don't trust people that do weird fucking shit like that. Because usually they're full of shit. And like I said, I can't really say anything bad about McDonald. Maybe I should read more. Sorry about that. I just think McDonald's kind of a strange character. But I agree. You're right. I should read a little bit more on McDonald. But I think it's reasonable to not trust Paul Fromm. I mean, I think it's reasonable not to trust people that are in an American political party running a presidential candidate that don't live in the country and have never been a citizen of the country. That's not to say that they can't work with us or something like that. That's crazy. But I just think it's, just seems a little contradictory, and, you know, I don't really understand why they can't find enough Americans to be in the American Freedom Party. Okay, Paul Fromm has defended many hollow hoax deniers in Canada. Can you say the same? No, I haven't personally defended any hollow hoax deniers in Canada other than through things I've said, you know, online and some of the networking that I've done. But I haven't been, you know, in court fighting for people that deny the Holocaust or, you know, want to talk about revisionism. That's fine. If you know the guy and you think he's a good guy, that's fine. It just, I'll disagree to disagree. I think he's a fucking degenerate. Based on those pictures, I think he's a degenerate. Does that mean, you know, a degenerate can't fight against, you know, or fight for people that want to, you know, have an open, basically, debate or open investigation into the Holocaust or other subjects? No. I mean, I guess they can. But as far as being a political leader or something like that, I don't respect him in that regard. I respect the work he has done in regards to helping Holocaust revisionists, though. I mean, that's fine. I mean, he's done it. He did it. Okay, moving on. Let's see. What else do I got here? I don't understand this shit sometimes, guys. I'm sorry. I don't understand why there's so many degenerate weirdos. I mean, it's one thing. It would be one thing for Paul Fromm to dress up in a zippered Speedo with some degenerate French artist. I mean, you can look her up. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head. I could look it up because I did mention it. In that tweet there, McDonald still has to operate in academia. Does he still have to operate in academia? I mean, does he need the job that bad? I mean, I would like to see him. I guess he does. I guess he is testing it, in a sense, because I mean, his private life, he does talk about a lot of controversial subjects. They could try to fire him. Based on that, I think he does have tenure, though. I mean, I understand that. No issue with that there. I just want to see if I can get this lady's name real quick for those that might be interested in actually doing some research instead of taking what I say is gospel truth or something. Here we go. Patricia Mangan. Managnall, something like that. Managnall. I'll post it in the chat. You can look her up. She's pretty out there. Slander is easy with Photoshop. All right, ask Paul Fromm about it and let me know, Hanshan, what he says. It doesn't look like Photoshop to me. I mean, Photoshop says he can't even open the picture links. Okay. This is okay, yeah, okay. If you haven't seen the pictures, I just don't, I mean, it just doesn't look like Photoshop to me. Maybe I'm freaking wrong. Maybe it is Photoshop, but damn, they look totally legit. Lighting looks right. I bet the chat room's sick of me posting these freaking pictures. But yeah, on to other things here, I guess. I saw an interesting article by Digger of Truth on the Renegade Tribune. Called the title of his article or her article. I think it's a guy, but I'm not entirely sure. I think it is a guy, but Digger for Truth, Damaged Men and Women. Talks about MGTOW, kind of the whole men and women debate and some of these other things that are going on. But the one thing that really stood out to me was kind of his breakdown here. He has seven different kind of categories or seven different points that he makes, and I'll read them off. It says, almost everything the Jews do to us has multidimensional purposes. As I see it, this whole feminist / MGTOW agenda ticks these boxes for the Jews. These obviously overlap. 1. Both sexes are fucked, and therefore not being fucked, or not fucking. And that's the game plan, isn't it? So we don't naturally connect and work symbiotically as nature had intended. Therefore, we, Western Europeans, do not procreate as we naturally would. 'Tis that simple. It's just social engineering for eugenics purposes to destroy the family unit in alignment with their NWO eugenics plan. sorry, I got distracted. Somebody sent me a funny cat picture in the chat. Okay, moving on. 2, to destroy the potential of the defensive warrior in the males, so men do not protect the women, families, country, race, etc., by standing up to these tyrants. Men need to actually do something as opposed to moan about the situation. To make a point to his first point, I think is interesting, because I have noticed this actually just kind of through interactions with people, is it does seem like people aren't really having, like even married or couples aren't really actually having that much sex. A lot of it's just due to time, being busy, I guess moods of people and emotional outside influences. I think a lot of the propaganda and just electronics and Wi-Fi everywhere is probably messing with that as well, not to mention birth control and what have you. It seems like there's a really small, very open segment of people, though, that are basically men and women and others that are having a lot of sex, basically making up for the sex that others are having, but they themselves are not doing it for procreation purposes. They're doing it just for, I guess you could say, pleasure. Moving on, 3, generally create divisions between males and females, furthering society's breakdown. Father/daughter, sister/brother, gender agitation within the workplace, etc., not just in partnerships. 4, use women as a weapon against men, to degrade men, be unsupportive to them, knock or erode their confidence, push them aside as unneeded once they've got their baby, encouraged by government benefits, etc. Although that, the whole getting the baby for the government benefits thing seems to be, at least in my experience, overwhelmingly more of a black problem than a white problem. I do see it too with white women. And white men as well, where the woman kind of, I guess, decides she'll be better off on benefits than with the man she's got for whatever reason. Some of them probably legitimate, but it seems like, this meme and I can't remember who had talked about this. I remember hearing about this years ago, this meme of you know, women leaving their husband and taking their kids and driving across the country, or, you know, running away from their husband that was a deadbeat or an alcoholic or lazy or beat them or, you know, didn't really love them as much or whatever. This meme has definitely been pushed throughout, you know, TV and soap operas and Lifetime movies and what have you. And I think that possibly contributed to a lot of that behavior. Number five, use men as a tool against women to belittle women, or conversely to actively assist in any anti-nature roles, etc. Number six is degrade women. Make all women look like aggressive, irrational, fickle, unstable feminist monsters. And seven, degrade men. Make all men look like pathetic beta male specimens or bitter and twisted loners who loathe all women. I thought it was an interesting breakdown. Kind of interesting breakdown there. And, you know, it spawned a lot of thoughts that I've been thinking of how to kind of put some of this stuff into words. Because, I mean, I see this stuff online. Anything that's online, you kind of have to take with a grain of salt sometimes. The internet's just a different, totally different place. I think we all know that. It's kind of like an exaggerated form of reality, but in some ways it's actually not. It's actually a more realistic reflection of reality, because actual life is so censored itself that the internet actually provides a channel for real ideas or real feelings or real, you know, even habits or negative behaviors to kind of flourish and to express themselves. But I'm seeing a lot of these problems in day-to-day life between men and women. It seems like there's this real standoffish attitude with both the sexes with each other, a very careful attitude. You know, and I mean, even for my work, we had this, you know, what do they call that? Not sex education, sexual harassment. And I'm trying to remember how they define sexual harassment. It's basically like anything that could possibly remotely be constructed as being sexually offensive. And even some of the examples they used in this little training video that we had to do, we had to take a little test on it, was like, I was sitting there like, wait, really? Really? Like, that's pretty innocuous. Or is that innocuous? Yeah, I think it's innocuous. You know, it's just insane. What I find funny, though, is that most people don't, or a lot of people, at least at my work, don't really care and don't really follow it. Because, you know, we're kind of, I think, all cool enough. Even some of the women that work there, you know, just because they hear some comment, you know, behind their back about, you know, some joke or, you know, some Bruce, I've made Bruce Jenner jokes around the office and people think it's funny. So, but I mean, I could technically get in trouble for sexual harassment because of that. But we're going to the break. We'll be back in just a few minutes here. Keep listening.
Renegade Broadcasting was founded in 2012, ladies and gentlemen. Since that time, Cole Hunt of the Solar Storm has been authoring the Renegade Broadcasting website, producing, directing, and is now running the Renegade Tribune alongside other projects that present to you all of this free content. Free for you, but not free for him. When your life is busy and you don't know how you can help Kyle by contributing in some way, Kyle can always use a bit of a financial scratch on the back to help out with costs. So please, be generous and donate whatever you can, wherever you can. You can go to renegadebroadcasting.com and click on Kyle's face. This will take you to a donate button. Every little bit helps.
And welcome back to the Return of Tyr here on Renegade Broadcasting. Talking about quite a few different subjects here. I did want to give a shout out to the host. Been doing some great shows over here lately. I've been listening to pretty much every show I can catch. I think I've caught up for the past 3 weeks to a month on every show but Charles's show. Had a listen to Sinead's show today with Rosa and her rants afterward. Great show. It's terrible to hear what is happening to her, and I hope that we can put something together. I definitely think something like a Kickstarter would be great, or some kind of fundraiser. I don't know when she's supposed to be going in, but maybe when she gets out, we can kind of give her a welcome home present of some kind. And maybe we can network with some other, maybe there's some other Norwegian, people out there that we can network with to maybe fight this thing legally in some way. I know she's tried to do that already and has met much resistance. And it seems like in these cases, a lot of times, once they decide you're basically guilty, or, you know, they decide, it seems like sometimes they just decide, we're not going to give up on this case. No matter how wrong we are, no matter how much we screwed up, you're not getting off because that's going to make us look bad. So we have to continue our continue trying to silence you, trying to screw you over. So maybe you'll just go away and leave us alone, or we'll just put you away if you won't stop. So that's terrible to hear. I mean, it's ridiculous. Norway, what was it? Varg Vikernes, he burned down a church and got 7 years. I think 7 years is like pretty much the maximum in Norway. But for pulling a social worker's hair, she's getting 2 months. While the rape refugees are getting, a month of community service for raping, a child. It's fucking ridiculous. I can't even understand. I mean, it just doesn't even make any sense I guess that is a perfect example of, some kind of pathological altruism or something. It's just crazy. This world is crazy, and I feel really bad for those that are stuck in, Scandinavia, because it seems like there's a lot of this going on, and that it's getting worse and worse by the day. So if Rosa, I don't know, she possibly is out there listening, maybe she'll catch this sometime. We're here for you. We'll try to do whatever we can. If you need some help with something, just let us know, and we'll try to try to figure out what we can do. I think, you know, we have enough contacts and we network with enough people to kind of figure out how to help you, whatever your situation might be and whatever needs to be done. So please do just let us know. I thought her rants were good on that show as well. And if somebody will mention in the chat that term that she was using, it's not a pedophile, but like basically these men that like want to marry underage girls. It's a weird word, and I haven't really heard it used until her show. A phoebophiliac or something like that. That shit is fucking weird. And as far as David Lane goes, I remember bringing up, I think I even played the clip on my show of his conversation with Lamb and Lynx back when he was in prison, when they, I believe they were about 12 years old. And the video is from, I want to say it's from Louis Thoreau on the Nazis, or Louis Thoreau Nazis. You can find it on YouTube. Hebephilia. Somebody saying, maybe that's what it is. Hebephilia. Oh God. That I know that there's some people out there, I think, that have a Hebrewophilia. I lost my train of thought there. But yeah, the David Lane thing, that definitely was creepy. He said they were, Lamb and Lynx were like his fantasy sweethearts. And no matter, you know, David Lane, 14 words, all that, 88 precepts. I've read a lot of that stuff. It's been a while since I really read it, but I don't know. Maybe the guy was just going completely crazy being in prison. Maybe he didn't mean it the way it sounded. I don't know. He did seem kind of like creepy, though. And he did kind of write about basically, I think in one of his books, maybe it was just a fiction book, but I do remember hearing one of his books, how he's talking about basically having, you know, kind of this, I guess, an underground white community, you know, type of thing, like a compound or something, where they would go out and kidnap white women and basically, you know, bring them back, I guess, I'm kind of like being a little exaggerating, but basically indoctrinate them into their ideology and, you know, have lots of kids with them to bring up our population numbers and things like that. So a little bit of an oddball, and that kind of goes back to the Order. Bob Matthews, they were doing bank robberies and whatnot. Very interesting history to look into if you are, you know, white nationalist and have never heard of these things, because that was kind of, seemed to be the time where white nationalism kind of got really started. I mean, I guess Rockwell was before that, but, you know, it always seems like for the, you know, past 50 years or so that it's gone through different cycles where it's been kind of out in the forefront and then it's died back down and then gotten a little bigger, like with William Luther Pierce. I mean, he had an organization that was bringing in $1 million a year. They had, I think, up to like 20 employees at one point. They were doing a lot of great things, and it was very, very well done, very smart, very good for their time, especially before really the internet was, you know, nearly what it is today. Of course, he's got his broadcasts, and they were released online. I don't know if they were from the beginning of his broadcast. Maybe that was back in the day of like cassette tapes and things like that. But definitely interesting to look into. Bob Matthews, The Order, David Lane, William Pierce, trying to remember the National Alliance, all that stuff is pretty fascinating. Especially to see within a historical perspective of what they were actually saying back then, which is not all that different from what we're saying now. It's just, it's a lot more apparent now. William Pierce pretty much predicted the future to a T in many ways. So definitely check him out. I think I've listened to about half of all of his broadcasts. He's got so many of them. It's insane. And all of them really well done. So, let's see here. Let me close out of a few things there. I did put together, just wrote some things down, and this was just, I kind of went through and did this as far as what came to mind, and this isn't exactly a perfect overview or example, but these were the things that came to mind pretty much as fast as I could write them. As I put men or man, woman, and child in three different categories, and just put some attributes to them. For the man, I put masculine, strong, tough, hardy, hardworking, wise, intelligent, observant, decision maker. Under woman, I put feminine, beauty, soft-spoken, gentle, and then intuitive, compassionate, healing, life-giving, or life-bearing. And for the child, I put youthful, innocent, brash, clumsy, inquisitive, brazen. I couldn't find a word to describe it, but I put youth lending or youth giving. It's like when a grandparent sees their grandchild great grandparent sees their great grandchild, it brings kind of new life to them in many cases. That's basically what I'm describing there, and then put follower. They follow or they emulate what the man and the woman do, depending on the sex of the child. But still, even then, I would say that, yeah, the boy or, you know, the boy will emulate some qualities of the mother through DNA and through interaction. Same with, you know, the daughter will emulate qualities of the father and vice versa and so on. I just wrote some things down. Men impart life. They don't bring it forth. They impart it through procreation. Women actually deliver it. So it's kind of like a baton, handing off the baton, I guess you could say. Men are also traditionally the life takers. They take lives away. There's no way around that. I don't think you're going to get the human race to stop killing people. I don't think it's going to happen. When men are not willing to give their lives and do not give their lives, and do not take the lives from those that wish to take the lives of ours or our folk, then the women are forced to take matters into their own hands, and that comes in many different flavors. I think we're seeing it now. I think, you know, through women leaving their men, taking their children, not letting their men see their children. In some cases, the man didn't deserve it. And that's where I think some of the people in MGTOW are. They're just fed up because, you know, their cunt of a wife took off with the kids because he was only making 100K a year. And, you know, Joe Blow up the street is making 150K a year. And, you know, she was basically sneaking. And I've heard stories of this. I mean, this is not just made up crap that came off the top of my head. I've heard stories of this. I've seen examples of this where husband goes to work. Here's an example. And this is somebody used to work for. He said in their neighborhood that when the husband would go to work, I believe the husband was a cop, he would leave, you know, usually, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, something like that. The wife, they would see her come out of the house about 6:15, 6:30, and walk down the street in her pajamas and go to this other dude's house, which was single. So this went on for a while, and everybody in the neighborhood was like, holy fuck, like, this woman's, like, crazy. She's just walking in her pajamas. It's obvious what she's doing. And this went on for, I think, like, close to 6 months until I think he finally caught her. Somehow, like, he left and had to come back home, and she wasn't there, and boom, it all went down. But, you know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens because the man isn't giving the woman what she wants or what she feels like she deserves. And I'd say many cases, such as a case like that, she's probably a cunt. She's probably a bitch. So probably worked out for the best for the guy, in the end of it. Although the court and the lawyers and all that probably ended up with way more money, than he would have liked to have given away. And her as well, and that's another problem. But moving on, men and women alike have been programmed into thinking that having children is not a good thing. Now, this isn't all men or all women, but quite a few of them have been programmed not to have children. When I was younger, even me and my wife, when we were together, because we were together at a young age, we both didn't want to have kids. You know, we were obviously stupid, teenagers at the time, but we didn't want to have kids. And most of the reason for that was seeing other people's kids that were little brats, that didn't listen to what their parents said and walked all over them and treated them like shit. But now looking back, I realize the reason why their children treated them like shit is because they put them in front of the television, and all these Nickelodeon and Disney shows that teach children to treat their parents like shit. So it's kind of their own fault. They created that monster. That and many of these men, or these mothers and fathers, treated each other like shit. So their kids naturally picked up on that and basically did the same thing. Okay, so let's see. For what reasons? There are many, whether it be the other bratty kids we see around these days or the television, television's portrayal of children, the sacrifice of the woman carrying the child, childbirth, child caring, carrying, time, money, relationship issues. So-called horror stories from idiotic parents that haven't even tried to raise their kids and in turn blame them for their bad behavior, which they helped create, or just plain old pure selfishness. These are many of the things that we have to start reversing. And we're not going to reverse them by telling people, oh, you just need to have kids. You just need to have kids. That doesn't exactly work. I think it happens through having kids ourselves. Some of us can't. Some of us aren't in a situation where we can. You know, even if we are in a loving relationship together, maybe there's a fertility problem or what have you. Maybe you're too old to have children or any more children, that type of thing. Hanshan asks, have you ever heard of a woman that doesn't have a monthly period and the psychological changes that go with it? Oh boy, I've heard so many stories. I mean, and I'm a guy, it's not something that I usually hear a whole lot about. You know, it's not really something that women talk to men about or men talk to men about. But I have heard many, many, many stories of girls not having, you know, girls and women not having a regular period. And there's got to be, I mean, there's got to be something wrong from, I would say, a diet level, a something's wrong with their body. I mean, there's got to be some reason for it, but it doesn't seem like there's really any research that's going into trying to correct that. Or, you know, I think maybe it's a hormonal issue. You know, also these women that are taking like Depo-Provera have a whole lot of hormonal problems. And Sinead mentioned it on the show. I've seen and heard of so many women that were on Depo-Provera, and that shit is fucking, I cannot believe that crap is legal. I mean, it makes you into a fat, bloated whale. I mean, you get like fat in all the weird places, like neck fat and chin fat, and your cheeks and forehead get fat. I mean, it's freaking gross. You just look like a swollen blob. Even if you aren't actually like fat or overweight, you just look, you know, bloated. And it's basically, it tricks your body into thinking it's pregnant, so therefore it doesn't have a period. And it's just, I mean, it just doesn't seem like a damn good idea to me to trick your body into being pregnant when it's actually not, you know? You know, just like it would probably be bad to trick your body into thinking it's having a period when it's actually not, because your body's going to be doing lots of different things, to account for that and accommodate that. It's just all kinds of screwed up. I've seen and heard lots of bad stories about it. I've seen women that look perfectly fine, and then, you know, 3 months later, I'm like, God, why do they look like that? They look freaking weird. And then I hear, oh yeah, they're on Depo-Provera. They get their Depo-Provera shot every, you know, however many months, or every month, or whatever it is. It's like every 6 months, every 3 months, something like that. Disgusting stuff. Don't touch it. Do not touch that crap. I never really messed around with birth control. Birth control is pretty simple if you're not aware of the fact that, and Sinead's mentioned this, your cycles. Basically, she said like a 24-hour window. I guess it could vary depending on the woman, depending on the hormones and things like that. Maybe it does vary. I've always heard 3 to 4 days period. If you want to play it safe, you know, kind of stay within a 7-day window. Thor's disciples said, pull out. I totally recommend that. I recommend that to everyone, the pull out method. It works. It's worked for me. It's definitely worked for me. I can count on one hand how many condoms I've used in my entire life. And it's not due to lack of sex. So, yeah, the Thor's disciple said, if you're good. Yeah, if you're not good at it, then either you probably don't need to be having sex, or maybe you do need to use a condom. I thought condoms were the most disgusting things in the world. They just like smell freaking weird. You like can't wash that lube, nasty like lube crap off, and it feels like oil, but it's like the worst oil feeling in the world. They don't ever fit right, no matter what brand or size you go to. I mean, it's like gloves, though. I mean, you can never find a pair of gloves that freaking fit right either, so it's kind of the same thing there. But I definitely don't recommend using condoms. A lot of the chemicals and things that they use in them are not something you should have inside of your body. Do some research on that. I don't really remember right off. I have looked into it before, but I'm sure there's plenty of information out there. I guess if you're the kind of person that isn't in a committed relationship, and maybe you do things like that with people you don't really know, maybe you'll have to do that. I guess maybe that's okay, but I still don't really recommend doing that either. It just seems to have caused a lot of people a lot of problems. So yeah, birth control. My wife's never used any type of birth control pills, shots, Yeah, none of that. No, you know, no patches, no plastic shit you stick up in your stuff. Yeah, what do they call it? A Nuva ring. Sinead was talking about that as well. Like, oh God, that thing freaks me out. Like, when I remember seeing the commercials, it's like, dear God, I don't even want to know where that goes exactly or how that goes in there. Like, I don't want to know. Oh, Jesus. So yeah, I mean, and with our son, I knew exactly what day it was. I was like, yeah, I remember that day. Because that was the only day that's ever happened. So it was, that's pretty nice to know. That's pretty nice to know that, yeah, it's all the fear out there that people want to, yeah, watch. There's going to be somebody that's going to get their girlfriend pregnant and is going to, like, freaking scream at me. They're going to call into a show or something and scream at me because I told them to use the pull-out method and it didn't work. And, you know, they're going to, like, be coming after me for, like, child support or something in the future. That's going to be great. So, yeah, well, I'm coming to a break here. Trying to see if there's any interesting stuff going on in the chat. Looks like the chat room's hopping pretty good. We got Paige says in there, Thor's Disciple, Hanshan, Epic KWJ, good friend Jasper, is it Jasper Jancy? Is that how we pronounce that? Not really sure. And Taffy Spork. No, I don't think I've ever seen Taffy Spork before. Welcome to the broadcast if you're a new listener. Maybe it's just a new chatter. But welcome to the broadcast if you are new. But I want to move on to the next part here. I don't have anything else to add on the birth control issue. Just don't use it. And if you know people that are using it, you know, kind of try to educate them. A lot of people don't know the dangers and the risks, and a lot of these women honestly don't understand why the fuck they become crazy, insane bitches when they're on these birth control drugs. But we're going to the break. Coming into the second hour, stay tuned.
Buddy come from?
Well, little Jimmy, you see, the Jews print our money out of thin air and loan it back to us with interest, thus enslaving us through their usury.
Well, I never knew Jews were so good with money.
Yes, little Jimmy, that's why the Jews have been kicked out of over 109 places in 79 different countries for doing the same exact thing.
Wow, they certainly know how to parasite.
They sure do. That's why I bank with Shekelstein Credit Union. Shekelstein Credit Union, printing money out of thin air and enslaving the Goyim since 1913. Shekelstein Credit Union. They sure know how to parasite.
Feuer springen in der Walpurgisnacht.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
And welcome back to the Return of Tyr, going into the second hour here tonight on Renegade Broadcasting. For those of you that maybe just tuned in, been talking about a number of subjects. Talked about American Freedom Party a little bit in the early part, rustled some feathers there. Sorry if I did so. I'm just very skeptical about some of these organizations and some of the people involved. Personally, I wouldn't feel comfortable being a part of an organization that claims to be about or against multiculturalism that is run by someone that helps bring other races into the country and helps them set up their businesses in, you know, our country. Seems kind of hypocritical. To me, also someone that used to do a show here on Renegade for a short stint that, was trying to get people to stop talking about Jews. I can't remember what his exact comments were at the time, but it was like pretty bad. Stuff that definitely won't fly, over here. Renegade's never been big on censoring people. Renegade's never been big on censoring people, although we have had to shit posting gossip about people. I don't know. The pictures, they look real to me. Until it's proven otherwise. I guess I won't talk so publicly about it, until I have some type of confirmation, but damn, I'm getting distracted again. I forgot what I was saying there. You know, Renegade's never been big on censorship. We have had to censor freaking trolls in the chat room. Comments have been censored before in the past, but most of the time it's spammy, freaking nut job, wacky, you know, wackiness or people using, you know, using multiple accounts. You know, using multiple accounts, you know, attacking themselves with set accounts like Jackson was doing. Hanshan says he's skeptical of all the feminist bullshit, which seems to be creeping into Renegade as of late. I would like Hanshan to... Hanshan, if you'd like to call in, I don't know if you're a caller or if you really call into shows. I have seen you around for a while. I do remember you from, I don't know, pretty far back. I think you have been around for a while. So if you'd like to call in and kind of make some comments about this, I'd like to talk about it. Because I keep seeing people say that, people that have been around the network for a while that do kind of know, you know, some of the people, they know us. They're not just new people that, you know, came from TRS or freaking Daily Stormer or from Breitbart or something like that, you know. So if you'd like to call in, or if anybody else would like to call in, the number to call is 747-222-8807, 747-222-8807. And I will let you on. And Hanshan, if not, just stay in the chat. You know, maybe some quotes or things like that, or some of the, you know, some of the points. Because I keep seeing that brought up, and I do understand where some people are coming from to some extent that, you know, Sinead's show with Michelle, or Michelle's show with Sinead last week, where she blew up at Tomato Earth, was proof that she was a feminist. You know, I just say this. What kind of fucking feminist? Okay, what kind of feminist has a child with a masculine man and wants to raise that child to the best of their abilities and not turn it into some gender-neutral, trans-weird kid or something like that, otherkin, that has stood up for men many different times, that has no problem interviewing men, has no problem, I mean, I just don't, you know, if, and I don't know if this is what Han Shan is saying necessarily, but I am saying this, you know, Sinead's a feminist. She's just a feminist, a crypto feminist or something like that, because blah, blah, blah. Well, usually there's not really anybody actually saying anything in particular that she said. And some things she has said, I've kind of been like, that almost sounds like, you know, something a feminist would say, you know. I'll be honest, I have thought that before. But I think it's, we're just not used to hearing women talk that way that aren't feminists. We're not used to hear, because we're used to women just, you know, I mean, the opposite or the inverse is somebody like a wife with a purpose. And you can check out her YouTube channel and check out her interview with what's her freaking name? Lana over on Red Ice. You know, that type of thing. Okay, Han Shan said he doesn't listen to Sinead's show, so his reaction to some of the stuff on the Tribune. If you'd like to make a comment on the show, if you can put some thoughts together on that, I would like to hear it, because I want to understand where some of these people are coming from. Because I mean, I've heard from people personally that are like contacted me or talked to me like, what the hell's up with this? You know, Renegade's all pro-feminist now or something. You know, Sinead's feminist, Michelle's feminist. All these people are, you know, this kind of thing. And I understand kind of where some people are coming from and some of their points, but I don't think they have all the facts, and they don't quite understand what's going on behind the scenes. You know, but we're not used to hearing women defend themselves, at least on the right. And this is an interesting argument I have against people that say, you know, well, women, they're just like so leftist. They're all so, you know, you look around and like this Black Pigeon guy, Black Pigeon Speaks video, Women Destroy Civilizations. You know, he's like showing these, you know, fucking whores, paid Soros whores, through Femin, which Femin is controlled by a guy that picks, you know, he picks the ones that do this. He picks the ones that do that. It's very, very controlled. It's controlled by a guy. He picks the ones that got the best tits that to go out there and paint, you know, whatever it is, whatever the slogan they want to use for that day. You know, it's all controlled. And if you actually watch, I think it's one of the Vice videos where they're talking to one of these women, or they're actually talking to a few of the Femin women. I wish I could dig it up, because it was interesting as hell, because they're asking this one girl questions, and you can tell, like, she's not even really a feminist. She doesn't even know what she's doing, and she's actually speaking kind of honestly. And the other girl, like, speaks up and is like, no, we don't stand for that. No, no, you can't say that. And she's like, why? What was wrong with that? Because it was more of like an equality between sexes statement. I was like, this shows that these people are not really, they don't really know exactly what they're doing. And it's like people that do activism sometimes in this movement don't exactly know what they're doing. They can't really defend what they're supporting. And my, you know, what I would say to those people, if you're going to go out there and do some kind of activism for a certain thing, at least be able to defend that. Now, if they throw other things at you, just say, I'm not here to talk about that. If you can't defend it, I'm not here to talk about that. I don't have anything really to say about that. I'm here to talk about this today. You know, I'm here to talk about white genocide. You know, for example, if they say, oh, well, you know, you guys are, you guys like Nazis, don't you? Be like, no, I'm not here to talk about Nazis. This has nothing to do with Nazis, you know? Hanshin says there's people here who say I should fuck off and die. I don't know what he's referring to. I don't know if somebody said that in the chat or not. I know Jasper gets a little riled up sometimes during these shows. Just chill out, guys. Calm it down. But that's where my statement came in earlier, where I said if men are not willing to basically give their lives or stand up for their women, that women are going to start taking matters into their own hands. And I learned through, you know, like Daily Stormer and a lot of these other outlets that women are illogical. So it makes sense why they're going to do illogical things, right? That's what I have a problem with, too, is the, I don't know what you would call it, kind of the MGTOW type rhetoric. I would say it's mostly MGTOW rhetoric. It's not always used by people that are MGTOW. But it's like they want to have it both ways. On women. They want to treat them as equals in many ways. They want to judge them as equals. And in many cases, the women that they are attacking do judge themselves as equals to men. They think there's no difference, you know, these crazy feminists and whatnot. But then at the same time, they don't actually view them as equal. So it creates a lot of cognitive dissonance between the two, and it just ends up being a fucking shitstorm a lot of times. What I find funny too, as well, is especially with the show that Sinead and Michelle did, is basically this guy calls in, he's trolling, he's acting like a dick, and I've heard stuff publicly that's been said, some of the stuff that's been going on, I've experienced it myself. I've seen it with other people that have been on this network that have been attacked. Like I mentioned, I think on the round table or something recently, like Mike Sledge was having people call his house telling him they were going to kill his fucking kid. I mean, shit, that's enough to make you blow up on somebody on a radio show that starts trolling you because you think, oh, it's all connected. And some cases it is. Not always. Sometimes it's just a bunch of random assholes that don't even know each other that attack you at once. So she defended herself. Now, had she not defended herself, and Sean, so let's say Sean came in, he's listening to the show because he's got it streaming and all that, and he's behind the scenes. Let's say Sean steps in and says, oh, asshole, you know, you know, fuck you, get off the radio, boy, whatever. Oh, well, he's a white knight, right? So men aren't allowed to defend women because that means they're a white knight beta male. And women aren't allowed to defend themselves from the men or the man or men in this case because that makes them a crazy, insane feminist. It just seems like basically either, you know, don't call in, but at the same time, these people are troll assholes that, I really don't think, attacking a lot of these trolls is really worth the time of day for the most part, because they are psychopathic and they are sociopathic. It doesn't mean anything to them. They don't feel anything. Telling them they're a piece of shit and a fucking faggot, they don't care. They think it's funny. That's about the only closest thing to an emotion that they're going to have is laughter or anger. That's the only two emotions they seem to have is laughter or anger. They don't get upset. They don't cry about it. They think it's hilarious. That's why I've never really been big on just blowing up at people as far as like callers or trolls or things like that. I like to kind of counter troll them a little bit because they don't like that. Or I just attack them for their terrible trolling. I give credit to good trolls. I will give credit to good trolls. I've always tried to do that because there's some of them that do a good job of it. There's many, 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 most of them fucking suck and should probably stop or take a freaking class or something. But that's the thing. Women aren't allowed to defend themselves, and men aren't allowed to defend women because that makes them a white knight, beta male cuck, blah, blah, blah. So that's the problem I see. And so we see right now is basically Renegade is the only people that are saying, whoa, let's hold on a minute. All this anti-female stuff, albeit some of it is true, some of it, there is some truth to it. It is being used, in my opinion and others' opinion around here, as a psychological program. And Hanshan, like, I'm hearing the same shit, but I want to see hard data on that. The voting, women voting, is a major problem. I want to see some hard data. I want to see some people put together some stuff, because even that, I don't know if Black Pigeon Speak spoke about it in that video, or not, but the Romney campaign, white women voted more for Romney than they did Obama. Now, you know, I don't remember what the male vote was. I don't think it was more white. Definitely wasn't more white males voted for Obama. I would say women in general, if we're going to have a multiracial society, that yeah, women voting maybe is a problem, but I don't think white women voting is necessarily at the root of it. And actually I saw someone that cited, a poll in Germany on, he says he gave me books, Hanshan. Can you quote yourself and I will read the books or check them out? I didn't see that. But a poll in Germany on the invasion, and women actually were against it more than the men that were polled. Yeah, maybe it was the men that were polled. Maybe it was the women that were polled. I don't know how scientific it was, but I would like to see some data on it. I will say personally, I see more women personally in real life that are more willing to say something about a lot of these issues that we talk about. They will actually say, I'm sick of, you know, these people in my neighborhood. Whereas the guys are like, oh, I don't know, man. A lot of them are good, man. They're pretty cool. It's not a big of a deal. You know, they don't seem to really want to say what they really do know. But I guess it's all dependent on, sex and power and sex and character. So those are the books that Hanshan is, recommending is Sex and Power and Sex and Character. Sex and Character by Otto Weiningers, and Sex and Power by Simon Shepherd. They better not be written by Jews, dude, or I'm, as both those names sound a little, maybe the Weininger one sounds pretty Jewy, but could just be a German name. Okay. Well, Otto was a Jew, and once he figured out how female the Jewish character was, he killed himself. That's great. Taffy Pork, I know what video he's posting. The one of the woman on the subway there that lashed out at the invaders and I believe got sent to prison for it. At the end of the day, that's the way I look at it. If we're going to continue the race, if we're going to continue humanity just in general, even from a fucking basic bitch, new age retard perspective, we're going to have to procreate. Now, I guess we could go transhumanist and just, like, freaking make it all sterile and grow babies in test tubes and stuff like that, but I really don't endorse that. You know, to me, you know, if you don't want to be married, you don't want to be in a relationship with a woman, you don't want to have anything to do with women, like some of the MGTOW guys, like, I'm totally fine with that. But if you're sitting around jerking off to porn or fucking your waifu pillow or, like, waiting for sex robots, then I say pretty much fuck you. You're just a degenerate. You're no better than what you're attacking. That's pretty much my opinion. It does seem like many of those people are into that type of thing. And it's become very hard for good men to find good women and good women to find good men. And I think MGTOW is kind of a cop out in a lot of ways for people. I think people have become lazy. And I think a lot of it has to do with self-esteem on both sides. And even women sometimes in relationships because of self-esteem, because they don't feel like they're good enough for the man. And the man might not even know that's how they felt. I've heard of that before. You know, they just freak out on the man and boom, it's done. But in reality, she just felt like she couldn't be good enough, or he deserved better or whatnot. It's freaking crazy. Same for men as well. Done the same things. It's a scary world out there, that's for sure. But I will say, me and my wife have a great relationship. We've pretty much always, for the most part, had a great relationship. And I would say the only reason it's worked out so great is we were always honest with each other. And didn't take offense very easily. I don't know why we were able to do that. I don't know why it was so easy for us to do that. And, I mean, even back when we were, you know, stupid teenagers, we still just kind of naturally grew together. And I think it's almost worse to know these things and try to get in a relationship, because you want to tell them, you want to wake them up, you want to find one that's already like you and what have you. And it's just not that fucking easy. For me, I mean, I've been researching alternative topics for, I don't even know how many years now, probably the better half of our relationship. So we both kind of grew into these things together and we've learned from each other on that. But, I don't know, what can I say? I feel for the people out there that are having trouble, that are frustrated and whatnot. But I would say, you know, don't give up. You know, maybe let it sit on the back burner. Find some hobbies, find some other things to do. Build up your wealth or something. You know, work extra hours at work if you've got a pretty decent job that you don't absolutely hate and whatnot. You know, don't be, I think so many people, you know, women and men get so focused on how terrible men are and how terrible women are. And it's like the freaking Gamergate shit. It's just so fucking stupid. How it just became about feminism. It just nothing but about, well, I guess from kind of the start, it was about feminism, but it's like, that's all they want to really talk about is feminism all the time and how terrible it is. And, you know, attacking the low hanging fruit all the time. That's all they really, there's a lot of these guys, that's all they really know. They don't really know anything about Jews or race or whatnot. They just know feminists hate white males. And I think they just have a hard time getting off of that bent. And I think that's why a lot of them, swear to God, I keep losing my train of thought. Ridiculous. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I understand people and thinking that, And that's the problem. They've created this false dichotomy of, you know, an empowered woman is a feminist. And, you know, any man that defends an empowered woman is a beta cuck white knight. You know, but people like Wife with a Purpose because she toes the line of all the faggot retards in alt-right. She's a great woman because of that. But I guarantee if she, and it's probably going to happen, she's going to disagree with something, you know, something that she's just not going to back down on, and she's going to be thrown under the bus too. And I think it's just, it's freaking stupid. I think the alt-right is, although many of the points they're covering are good, I think they're ultimately just a freaking, they're like the Tea Party on retarded, they're like the Tea Party on Jinkum or something. I mean, they're a Tea Party on Jinkum. You can quote me on that. Not all the guys in the alt-right, not all the women in the alt-right that use that term are bad, like I've said in the past, but ultimately, I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And that was something I wanted to talk about on the show today. Is somebody in a comment brought to my attention, he sent me a link to the rightstuff.biz back in the early days from a web archive, webarchive.org, the rightstuff.biz. It's from back in 2012. Posting a link in the chat room. This is what their website looked like in 2012, essentially. So what is the first article? Who is that by? Matt Forney. I wonder if that's really his real last name or if it's just kind of Forney, Horny. It's kind of like some kind of joke. But their affiliated websites, mattforney.com or Matt Forney, I think it's .org now, maybe. Alternative right. So back in 2012, that's kind of weird, isn't it? The rightstuff.biz was linking to the alternative right back in 2012, but this term just like popped up out of nowhere and became a blanket term for all of them. That's highly coincidental. On their blog role is America, spelled with a K.org, which was a fucking commie spelling of America. I don't know why so many people on the right are using that, because its origins are in communist bullshit. I can't remember. I think it was a Jew that started, you know, that first used that or tried to like coin the term. Countercurrents, Talkies Mag, Anonymous Conservative, etc. So this Matt Forney guy, I wasn't really aware of him until recently. But here's just an example of Matt Forney, and I'll post a picture of him in the chat. This guy is like, I mean, he's more manly than Jack Donovan. I swear to God, like he's a total alpha male. I mean, just I bet he gets women on a daily basis. Actually, probably an hourly basis. Oh, I got a good one here. I mean, his face, man. Like, I almost want to do him. He's so sexy. All right, we're going to a break. We'll be back in a minute or two.
Stay tuned.
Constantly thinking naughty, hateful thoughts about the Jews? Do you find yourself actually wishing the gas chambers were real?
Do you hate the sight of a yarmulke because it reminds you of the parasitic race that has their greedy little hands in just about everything? Well, then we have got something for you. Ask your doctor about Anti-Semitox. Anti-Semitox is a long-acting injectable lobotomy that assures you will never think those anti-Semitic thoughts ever again. May cause suicide, depersonalization, thoughts of ripping off your skin, your dick may fall off, and you may become infertile. I made the switch to Anti-Semitox. Now I don't even care if I'm a goyim slave. Thanks, Jews!
Can you hear me? All right, I should be back now. Welcome back to the show. Apparently my mic, I don't know what happened. It's still plugged in. It's been working fine until just then. I don't know why it seems to do that every once in a while. It just disconnects and I have to reconnect it and, you know, turn it back on, that whole deal. But welcome back to the Return of Tyr, hosting the Wild Card here. I'm Drew. I used to host a show here on the network. Last year, I don't remember when I started now, right off the top of my head. Maybe it was late 2013, something like that. Or wait, what? Late 2014? Can't even remember what year it is sometimes. I'm living in the past current year. talking about this Matt Forney guy. Strange cat. This is some kind of pickup artist, MGTOW type of writer, blogger. Is not exactly what I would call a good looking guy. Is he a complete fat slob, the fattest fat person I've ever seen in my life? No. But even if he wasn't fat, I don't think he would be remarkably good looking, but that, you know, not everybody can be remarkably good looking. You know, I don't think I'm the best looking man in the world myself. And, like I think I said just a little while ago, you know, definitely not fat, but I'm definitely not some muscular, you know, I don't look like Angelo Gage or, Jack Donovan or some of these other guys, you know. I look like Hulk Hogan. But this guy looks just kind of like a nerdy, weird kind of guy. But he wants to tell you, he's got a book, and I thoroughly recommend this book. I'm actually thinking about getting a copy of this book because I really would like to know how to do this. And this guy seems like the perfect instructor on how to do this very thing. Matt Forney's book, Do the Philippines. And I'm reading from his website, and I'll put the link in the chat. you can actually find it. It's pretty easy to find on his website, mattforneybooks.com/do-the-Philippines. A no-nonsense guide that shows you how to meet and love Filipino girls in the Philippines. Here's what you'll find inside. How long you should stay in the Philippines to get the best of what it has to offer. A thorough analysis of Philippine culture to better help you bang girls. The type of lodging and materials you'll need to maximize the number of girls you sleep with. Much of the book is dedicated to the girls. You'll read a thorough description of an average Filipina's body, where I address the stereotype of them being little brown fucking machines. The best qualities of a Pinay's personality that makes her a strong competitor for the world's best kind of girl. The book teaches you how to pick up Filipino girls during the day, at night, and online. You'll learn why going to bars and clubs in the Philippines will make you feel like a rock star, even if you're a retard that makes his money all from blogging on the internet. And I'll get to some of his blog posts. It's freaking ridiculous. I mean, this guy, I'll get to that later. Why you don't have to worry about competition from Filipino guys. I've got one guess on that one. I wrap the book up with detailed guides on the Philippines' two best cities. You'll read the best city in the Philippines to find a long-term girlfriend or wife. Hint, it's not Manila. Praise for Do the Philippines. Quintus Curticus from Return of Kings says, one of the most enjoyable and practical travel accounts I've read in a long while. Masculine Profile says, Do the Philippines is the only guide a man will need to seduce and make sexy time with as many cute Filipino girls as his heart desires. I mean, is Masculine Profiles run by fucking Sam Hyde? I mean, let me read that again. It sounds like a Sam Hyde comment. Do the Philippines is the only guide for a man will need to seduce and make sexy time with as many cute Filipino girls as his heart desires. Shit. So yeah, this is his book. You can order it for $14.99 plus shipping, or an ebook for $7.99. If anybody would like to gift me the ebook, I would like to actually go through it just to see. Because I don't think this guy's ever been to the... He's probably never been to the Philippines. He's probably never fucked a Filipino girl. I say kind of the same thing about Roosh. I just think he's full of shit. I think it's kind of a funny joke on all the retards. You know, all the retards that... you know, really believe that these guys are giving them great tips. I think it's just like a scam. I mean, the webpage looks like, you know, freaking a scam. But here's one of his articles. Like, I'll just go through some article titles. Why Fat Girls Don't Deserve to Be Loved by Someone That Is Overweight and Out of Shape. Also known as Matt Forney. Where's the other ones at? Fat girls don't deserve to be loved. Hold on, I lost my other ones at when I had to switch over to Windows. But I mean, pretty much, he's got a link. You can hire him. So I guess he's basically like a prostitute too or something. A pickup artist / prostitute. He's got a link on his website to hire him. That's interesting. A Big Bone Woman's Ultimate Guide to Fat Sex. Observations on Dating and Banging Girls in the Philippines. How to Beat Your Girlfriend or Wife and Get Away with It. Mommy's Duress, How Narcissistic Mothers Break Their Children. How Much Money Do You Need to Live in the Philippines? Hurt Your Wife to Show Her Your Love. How to Crush a Girl's Self-Esteem. So that's just an example of what you can find at mattforney.com. What's in his wisdom section? Should freedom of speech be restricted to men? But Rachel Haywire is falsely accusing me of raping Ann Sturzinger. Yeah, I'm sure she's not a fucking kike. How to get into a fight. Career advice for young men. Oh, yeah, I bet that's a really fucking good one. Yeah, start a blog and write a fake book about how you can bang women in the Philippines. That's a great, you know, that's his career advice for you. My journey to the red pill. Oh, Jesus freaking Christ. I mean, I kind of like, I don't take it too personal because I just don't think this guy is really fucking legitimate at all. I think he's just marketing. He's using marketing techniques. That's all he's doing. It's just a job. I don't think he really necessarily believes all the shit that he says. Entering Virginia's Secret Garden or how to troll the manosphere for fun and profit. Interesting. And this one he says, for the past 3 months, I've been writing a second blog under the nom de plume Virginia Robinson, Soul de Sang, Red Pill Woman, Christian Housewife, and Submissive. In that time, I've made a three-figure sum, hawking a three-figure sum. So you've made like at least $100. Hawking a halfway erotica ebook, built a blog that gets about 500 hits a day from search engines alone, and assembled a nice coterie of beta orbiters. Why I am telling you this now? Because I have to write yet another article as Virginia. I'm going to vomit. I trolled the manosphere, and I trolled it hard. This is my story. So he's basically telling you that he has trolled before to make a buck, and people read it and be like, huh, that's freaking funny, man. And they're reading his stupid fucking, like, actual trolling website where he's doing the same exact thing. So that's Matt Forney. And if you'd like to see Matt Forney, he'll be at the latest MPI conference on March 5th, along with Ramsey Paul, Richard Spencer, and I believe Kevin McDonald and a few others. They're going to be talking about Trump. Angelo Gage will be there as well. I think maybe Nathan D'Amigo might make it. I think he made it to the last one. So if you'd like to meet all those great people, the great collective, be sure to check it out. And I really do mean that. Hopefully some of the listeners here will show up there and, you know, maybe get a feel for some of these people. See, how they really are in real life instead of just on the internet. I don't know. I'm just sick of the, inclusion, people like that. I mean, what the fuck does that fucking idiot have to offer? He's just looking for another market. People don't understand this shit. People don't understand internet marketing and how it works and how all these people are using it and pretending. It's all about the niche or niche. It's all about the niche. If you find a niche, you can freaking make money. If you know how to work it and leverage it and you know how to target an audience, you know what avenues to use to target said audience, you can make money. I'm reading through some of my notes here. You know, we're all talking about unity, getting together, coming together as a community, having a frith or a fellowship with each other, and getting along, building, growing, learning, you know, creating businesses, creating networks of information and what have you. And those are all, I mean, it's a great, that's what we need to be doing. That's what our enemies are doing. But here's what I say. A fellowship or a frith with fags, degenerates, pedophiles, liars, deceivers, psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists, attention whores, mentally deranged, or the mentally deranged, immoralist, lazy fat slobs, pajama wearing, 1 a.m., Walmart shopping, pill popping, vaccine taking, TV watching, materialist degenerates. Is that the kind of unity you want? Is with people like that? Because if so, that's fine. If that's what you want, then go, you know, go do it. It's well within your rights. But what people don't understand is that people like us don't want to be unified with people like that. And that might be kind of a broad, semi-exaggerated spectrum there. But there's a lot of truth to it as well in many ways. I'm sick of people defending others that are so antithetical on important issues, but say things online that aren't all that difficult to say, that aren't all that edgy, aren't new, and aren't even really that controversial. You can say, let me think of something. Women shouldn't vote. Women shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's not a fucking new idea. That's not fucking edgy. And that's not all that controversial online. Now, if you go into a town hall meeting and say, fuck all these women, they shouldn't vote. They shouldn't be able to vote. That is kind of controversial. But all these people that want a fucking pat on the back because they say controversial things like that online, I really don't understand it. Really don't understand why they feel like they deserve a pat on the back. And the alt-right basically, in my opinion, and all there's a lot of factors to it because it's a lot of new people. They want a pat on the back for saying shit that fucking people have been saying for the past 20 damn years. Oh, Trump's going to build a wall. He's so cool. He's so new. He's so edgy. That's not fucking edgy. That's nothing new. Bush was talking about building a damn wall. He's talking about building a damn fence. I mean, shit, come on. Are you people fucking retarded? So willing to jump on anybody that's willing to say one damn thing that you fucking like. I'm just so sick of it. It's so fucking stupid. I mean, it's hope and change. Trump and wall. Same freaking thing. Over again, over and over and over again. The stupid slogans, stupid talking points, same shit, old game, and nobody wants to accept it because they want to feel good. They want to feel good. I want to feel good, so I'm going to support Trump because he makes me feel good because he says things that other people in the mainstream won't say. Okay, I understand that. I understand that you want to feel good, but maybe you should feel like a fucking piece of shit because you do nothing. Because you sit on your ass, or you sat on your ass, and believe what the media was telling you. You believe what Bush was telling you. You fucking voted for Romney because, oh God, no, not Obama again. We gotta have Romney. He's a great guy. It's stupid. Wake the hell up. Trump, even if he gets in, it's gonna have to have some allies to get anything done. That are in the government or going to be in the government at that time. Senators, congressmen, judges, Supreme Court justices, local governments, state governments, governors, so on and so forth. Without that, you don't got much. And that's why I say fuck this system. I don't see any need. I mean, we can try to reform some things. I say on a local level, either we have to build it from the local level up, but it's not going to happen from the top down. With a president, I say fuck the position of the president. It's meaningless at this point. It's just a controlled figurehead that has to basically be the, you know, he has to basically promote whatever it is that they're going to do. And he has to take responsibility for it, even though he has no damn control over the direction it's going to go in, whether it's going to be implemented or not. And what have you. And that's where Obama has had some success on some of these things he's done. It's because he's got plenty of freaking douchebags that are willing to implement this shit. That's why other presidents in the past, when they, you know, put forth something or, you know, sign an executive order for this, never went anywhere because nobody acted on it. It's because we have a class of people in this country that doesn't give a fucking shit about anybody but their own damn pocketbook. And the money system, really, I would say, is at the root of most of these problems, because it's all about money. It's crazy what people will do for freaking money. I mean, there's people, I think there's plenty of people in this country that if you told them you would give them $1 billion, they would kill their freaking kids. They would literally kill their kids. If you told them, no questions asked, nothing, you're not going to get in trouble, you're not going to go to prison or anything, kill your kids. Okay, $1 billion? Okay, I'll do that. As long as nobody knows I did it and I won't get in trouble. That's how sick this country is now. It's the reward. And I like money just like the next guy, but I really don't care to be a freaking billionaire. I really don't care to have that much money. You know, I really don't care about money. I'm not like, oh my God, don't get rid of the money system. Don't end the Fed. That might hurt me. I'm not worried about it because I know, or I feel like I'll survive regardless. I feel like I'll be fine without it. It's not something that keeps me awake at night. You know, I'd like, instead of being rich, I'd like to be wealthy. I'd like to actually own wealth instead of fucking paper and debt, credit card debt and loan debt and student debt and car loan debt and all this other debt that everybody else has. You know, I see all these wealthy people all the time. They got a freaking $1 million house and blah, blah, blah. They can't afford a $10,000 something. Oh, I ain't got money for that. You guys finance? Yes, sir, we do. We finance. All right, sounds good to me. What's the interest like? Oh, well, you're going to pay blah, 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 blah. All right, well, where do I sign? I got good credit because I make enough money to pay my bills. That's all they do is pay their freaking bills. They aren't building wealth. They're just, they have things. They have nice, shiny things made in China and everywhere else in the damn world that aren't worth a fucking shit and don't last worth a damn. Sick and tired of planned obsolescence, and that comes from being in an international controlled freaking Jew economy where, why create a car that lasts, you know, or why create a refrigerator that lasts more than 10 years? Why? You know, you take, let's say, on a refrigerator, what fills? Compressor. You add $5 to the cost of the compressor, you make it last 20 years. Because there's, you know, three different parts in there that are a lower grade or they're a lower gauge of steel or some kind of metal. And they do testing on these things. They make sure that they break within that certain year. And warranties is funny as fucking shit. Oh, you get a 8-year warranty on your water heater. And one of the people I knew that they did maintenance for the apartment complex they used to paint at, they had a whole slew of water heaters all put in at the same time, had a set warranty. Every damn one of them was started freaking blowing out 6 months to a year after the warranty. Every damn one of them. But they didn't know that would happen. No. No siree. It's so inefficient. We're supposed to be about efficiency and being green and, you know, good for the environment and blah, blah, blah. But none of it's really true. And all the green shit really is a load of crap. All the efficiency shit is really a load of crap. A lot of that is tacked on from the side of whoever is selling it to you or installing it, whether it be a water heater or air conditioning system or what have you. Oh, the SEER rating, you get a 25 SEER unit. It'd be super efficient, low amp draw, variable speed, DC motor, blah, blah, blah. So you're looking at, you know, $25,000 for a 3-ton system on your house when you can get a 14 SEER for $10,000 and probably pay only over the lifespan of the system, damn, maybe $2,000 more in your electric bill. So what's the freaking point in having the efficiency if it's not going to pay off? It's not worth it. I just get so sick of this crap. I want to live in a functional freaking society, not this damn, like, let's see if we can Jew this guy. Let's see how much he's good for. Let's see how much he's willing to give us. Hanshan, I'll read over that article again. I didn't see really any problems with that, but I did have a problem with Kaminsky's comment. And I don't have a problem with Kaminsky outside of this. I've never had anything that I've read that I've had a problem with, but here's the fucking disconnect. Here's the fucking disconnect. So she's using feminist rhetoric that I didn't notice in the article, and you can go read it at the Renegade Tribune by Lasha Darkmoon. The article's titled On Feminism and Misogyny, an Open Letter to John Kaminsky. And go read up there, you'll find out what's going on. But I will read John Kaminsky's comment that was posted in an article that he tried to have posted over at the Renegade Tribune. And this was his comment. Women don't care about the welfare of their country or their civilization. They seek to maximize their chances of bearing viable offspring. Women like the idea of their country being destroyed by a rampage of virile men. Well, all I have to say is, you know what? In this country right now, there are women in positions of power. I do agree with that. But you know what? I will say, just from a statistical, factual standpoint, it's mostly men. And do they give a fuck about this fucking country? Do the European leaders give a fuck about this country? Do all the Jew bankers give a fuck about this country that are male? Fuck no, they don't. So are we going to sit here and blame women for voting for shit that doesn't even fucking matter to fucking begin with? Are we going to blame the fucking people that implement these goddamn policies? I'm fucking sick of it. You stupid people don't fucking get it. Fuck you, Hanshan. Wake the hell up. I am getting pissed off. Like, shut up. Really. And I'm not going to sit here and just blame men. Oh, it's just men. But come on. Be fucking logical. Don't be illogical like women. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.
Now, let's hear from a Jewish academic.
My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression, sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacists. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate. Not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. And the task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself.
Thank you.